This is a podcast by The Straits Times. You're listening to Music Lab. Each month, we invite music acts to our podcast studio. Here's your host, Adino Abdul Hadi, ST's music correspondent with his guest for this episode.
Hi Ranga, welcome to our show.
Hello man, thank you for having me.
All right. So I understand that Ruka from Baby Monster added one of your songs, Call Me, the song that you performed just now, on her Apple Music playlist.
Yeah, that's
true. How did you find out about that?
Well, I had notifications just like on my phone suddenly.
On TikTok?
It was actually on YouTube.
On YouTube?
They were commenting on Call Me's lyric video saying like, oh, Ruka from Baby Monster brought me here. She got me like, wait, who's... Okay, I didn't know who...
You didn't even know who Ruka was?
I didn't know who Ruka was. I heard of Baby Monster, but I didn't know that Ruka was, you know, one of the members. So I was like, wait, no way. So I went to Twitter. Because that's where like, you know, where everyone is updating. And I saw that she did add it to Apple Music and I couldn't believe it. And I straight away actually told Jason, my manager, like, bro, look at this.
Yeah.
She added my song to their playlist and yeah, it was quite a crazy moment, honestly.
When was that? When did that happen?
This, I think it was last 2 months ago. Okay. Or was it last month, if I'm not wrong? Yeah, quite recently.
So what happened after that? Was there like a big jump in numbers?
There was a slight jump in numbers, but then after that, it just kind of died down. But the Baby Monster's followers are really cool and supportive of me. And that song just got added onto more playlists.
You're right. But Call Me is not a new song, right? I think it was released 2 years ago in 2022.
2 years ago, yeah, correct. As a single. It's one of the songs that sort of blew up naturally. I think, I mean, shout out Spotify. I think they really liked the song and they really pushed it through the algorithm. So I'm really thankful for that.
So is it seeing some kind of revival right now?
Ish. Not like super, but yeah.
All right. So tell me what Call Me is all about.
Call Me was actually, I mean, I wrote it as a fictional story. Most songs I write, it's either personal experiences, my friends' experiences, or just total fictional. And Call Me was a fictional story. And it's just about telling that person, you know, if they're ever lonely, they can always reach out and call me. Yeah.
So you marked a milestone recently in December, your newest release. It's your first full album, Emotions. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right. So that's the first time you're putting out a full album since you made your debut in 2019.
Yes.
Would you consider this one of the highlights of your music career so far?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always wanted to do a full, proper album. And back in 2021, I did an EP.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of test the water type of thing. And then in 2022, my manager and I were talking, you know, I think it's time for a proper album. And it's a huge milestone. It's doing pretty good. One of the singles kind of got semi-viral on TikTok.
Which one is this?
That it's called You.
Okay.
The one with Tengi. And that was a pretty fun experience. That was a first for me as well. But yeah, Emotions is a really like one of the highlights of my career so far.
Right. And you still believe in full length albums? Because I think for a lot of people that you speak to, a lot of musicians, they feel like in the age of streaming, singles and EPs are the way to go.
Not wrong. I agree with that. But I feel like having full length albums, it's good on your discography. I mean, it looks way better, right? But as of now, I guess singles and EPs are doing really well. But I still believe in full-length albums.
All right. The other song that you performed just now, Not Good Enough, is also from... Is it from Emotions?
It's from Emotions. From Emotions. It's actually the lead single.
The lead single from Emotions. So tell us about that song.
Yeah. That song was basically a song for myself. I always found myself comparing to others, because you know how social media is like, you can't help it. And I've always dealt with like feeling self-conscious about how I look and all that stuff. So I was like, you know what? Let me just make it the lead single and write a song about it. And yeah, that's what Not Good Enough is about.
It's a bit dancey compared to
the rest of the songs. I wanted like an oxymoron type thing. So like usually sad songs are, you know, your guitar and slow, but I want it to be like a bit dancey, like a sad bop, you know?
Right. Tell us about the other songs in Emotions. You know, what inspired the lyrics to the rest of the songs? What inspired the music?
The whole album's concept, I mean, it's in the title, Emotions. So I wanted to tie every song to an emotion somehow. So the rest of it, there were two other new singles besides Not Good Enough, because the rest were all singles that were put out already. The other one is called Unmotivated, which is, I mean, a song about being unmotivated. Mm. Pretty straightforward. And then the other one is Colors, where it's like you found somebody that showed you colors in your life when, you know, it's been black and white. So yeah, it's like a love song for colors.
Will you be releasing any more singles from that album? Will you be pushing any other tracks?
For that album, currently no. I'm actually working on new stuff this year. I've actually got...
Oh, you're moving on to the next next phase already.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of people saying that it's pretty quick, but I feel like I just want to put out more music and experiment new sounds for the fans, you know.
All right, and you're working with the same band, the one that performed here today?
Well, okay, first of all, I think shout out to the band. Mm-hmm. They did really good. They're all my friends.
Yep.
And it's the first time we've played all together, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think we just kind of gelled together really nicely. But Waywin has been, my guitarist has been playing with me since probably 2020. Mm-hmm. So he's the closest one I've played with. But yeah, I mean, future gigs, if it's a band, I'd probably get them back.
Right. So usually it's a one-man show?
Usually it's just me and Waywin and like a playback. Yeah.
Mm, okay. All right. So how do the songs in Emotions compare to the singles and EPs that you've released in the past? How have you seen yourself grown as an artist since you first put out music in 2019?
I think back then, I just kind of released singles and songs when I wanted. There was no concept. There was no
strategy theme.
Yeah, strategy. Mm. When my manager, Jason, came in, he really helped mature the whole sound and image of myself. And that's why Emotions had that whole Emotions concept, which is, yeah, I think it's just me maturing, I guess. That's the difference between the other old singles.
All right. Let's go way back.
Yeah.
Tell us your story. You know, how did you start out making music? You know, did you have a childhood full of music? Did you take lessons when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did. But not like vocal lessons. The funny thing is,
what was your first music instrument that you played?
It was drums.
Drums?
Yeah, actually.
At which age?
I think it was 14.
14?
Or around 13 or 14.
So why drums? Like, was it a way to vent out?
It just looked cool.
Right.
I was a big Slipknot fan.
Slipknot?
In the days.
So you were new metal.
I was, I looked up to Joey, the drummer.
All right.
And I was like, wow, that's a cool instrument. I want to learn that. So I did. For about 2 years, then I quit. Then I discovered producing.
Yeah.
The producing side, it was because of EDM.
So you went from new metal
I went to from yeah, I went from EDM. Metal, rock to EDM, then to pop.
Okay.
Yeah, so I made the switch when I heard, properly heard pop songs. I was like, you know what? I think pop songs could be it. And then I found out I could sing. I didn't know I could sing.
At which age did you find out that you could sing?
It was during secondary school, so I think... Yeah,
and you were 16. Into pop at that time? Were you already into EDM?
Yeah, for sure.
You already passed the metal stage?
It was both. Passed the metal stage.
Passed the EDM stage.
Okay. Passed the EDM stage until, I think a few friends told me dude, you know you can sing, right? I was like, really? Yeah, you should put up covers. So I did that. So that's kind of how it started. I posted covers on YouTube.
What kind of artists were you covering? What kind of songs were you?
A lot of Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
He's singer-songwriter stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of my biggest inspirations. Kind of the reasons why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. A lot of Justin Bieber too, mm-hmm. and some One Direction. I'm a directioner.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very wide variety of
pretty music, wide pop variety. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about writing songs? Mm. When did you start out making your own material?
I think I was testing writing my own stuff back in 2019, actually.
Oh, that was quite recent.
Yeah, I didn't put it out. It was always a draft in my phone.
How old were you in 2019 already?
Oh, God. 21.
So you only started writing when you were in your 20s.
Yeah, I didn't write at all.
Before that, it was just singing.
It was just singing and liking music, right?
Yeah. So what happened? Why did you decide that, I'm going to start writing my own songs from now on?
I mean, like I said, because of Ed
Because of Ed Sheeran.
I saw how he was writing songs and it got me like inspired. I was like, you know what? Let me try my own stuff. I tried it. I didn't have the confidence to put it out. Mm-hmm. So it was always on my phone until one day I was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose, right?
Yep.
Signed up for a self-distribution thingy.
Right, one.
It was on DistroKid
actually, okay. Yep. Mm.
And put it out. And I was so proud of it because it's like, my name is in Spotify. And that's what I've always wanted when I started.
Where did you
this.
Record it? You could at home, on your laptop?
Just in my PC, in my room, with like a really cheap USB mic.
Right, because you already had some kind of producing background, like you said.
Yeah.
You learned how to produce.
I self-taught, because of the EDM stage. Mm. So from there, I just experimented and put out the song. I didn't know about like marketing and all that. Mm-hmm. Because usually they ingest the song a month before, 4 weeks before. I ingested it and then released it the next day.
Wow.
So I didn't have any playlist push or anything. I didn't understand any of that. Mm. So from there, I just sort of learned and got close to the people in the music circle in Singapore. Then that's where I properly like, okay, maybe this music thing can work out.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was around the time, 2019, that you decided that, you know, this is what you wanted to do in your life.
Yeah.
You wanted to...
Took a while because I did a lot of full-time jobs. I was a retail staff for my most adult life, I think. Mm-hmm. Retail and F&B, yeah.
Right. Did you ever thought about like going to music school or...
Yeah, I've wanted to, but I don't know music theory. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's what stopped me from doing that. So I was like, you know what? I might not. I was just self-taught. There's YouTube, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
Okay. How about performance? Do you remember the first time that you performed in front of an audience?
Yeah. I was shaking, man.
When was this?
This was during my time when I got in the Noise Mentorship. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
The NEC Mentorship Program.
That was
program.
In late 2019 to 2020.
Okay.
So I was still doing a full-time job. And
so you never performed before that, before Noise, before joining Noise?
I was too scared, man. I was too nervous.
Just YouTube videos?
Just YouTube videos.
Okay. But so you went through Noise. Who was your mentor in Noise?
My mentor was Imran Ajmain? Yeah.
Okay.
But I met a bunch of mentors there that really, really helped me. But my first performance, I was so nervous, man. Even the audition. Actually, the audition was technically my first performance.
Right. The first time you performed to strangers.
Yeah. I could feel my leg shaking. Mm-hmm. Then I asked them afterwards, I was like, did you guys see my leg shake? And they're like, no, you're doing fine. So I guess I hit it pretty well.
Okay.
But that was my first ever performance. Yeah. It went well, I think.
Well, you went through the mentorship. So you aced through that performance. So after that, like, Noise got you live performances?
Yeah. So Noise sort of kickstarted it because the final showcase was at Esplanade Concourse, I think. Yeah.
So this was all in 2019?
This was 2020.
2020, just the year before after you released.
Yeah, it was just before COVID.
Oh dear, so it was the early part of the year.
Early part of the year. Then I decided to quit my full-time. This was before like COVID happened, right? So I was like, you know what, I'm going to quit and then try this music thing for real.
What was your last job before that?
I was working in Pedro, the Charles and Keith
In retail.
Brother company. Yeah.
Right.
But I was moved up to the office side.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I told myself, let's just try to quit and try this music thing.
And this was in early 2020. You quit just before.
Honestly, super bad timing.
Yeah.
Because when I quit, boom, that's when COVID like got so bad.
So what happened after that?
So I was like pretty much jobless for a few months. Luckily, I had savings. Mm-hmm. So I lived off of that. I couldn't even find like part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, that's where I made a bunch of my music. Because of COVID.
So you used that time to work on more songs.
To work and improve and release. I just kept releasing. I remember I just kept releasing every few months just to saturate the market.
Everything was recorded at home in your home
all
studio?
At home.
Like no live band, everything was... Did the production yourself?
Yep, everything was at home, did the production myself. This was before I met my manager, Jason.
Okay.
Yeah, so everything was just DIY, one-man show.
Mm. Do you do a lot of live shows these days?
These days, yeah.
What kind of gigs do you do?
I think the best and the biggest one was me and Weiwen did New Year's Eve.
Okay.
2022 to 2023, the countdown. That was insane.
Where was that?
That was in, you know, the grass area in Marina Bay Sands.
Promontory, I think.
Yes, yeah. Promontory. I almost called it Promenade. Promontory. That crowd was crazy, man.
Was that part of the media call?
Yeah, it was part of the media call.
New Year's Countdown. New Year's show. Countdown. Right, right. Okay. Right. Is Ranga Jones a stage name or is that your real name? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask me this. Ranga is my real name.
Ranga is your real name?
Yeah. Jones is my stepdad's last name.
I see.
Because he's been with me since I was young and I wanted to incorporate his name whenever I perform. So that's why it's Ranga Jones.
Right. I understand that you were born in Indonesia and you came to Singapore when you were...
Correct.
Eight years old?
Yeah, 7 to 8. Yeah.
Okay.
Came here, didn't know any English. Mm-hmm. Went to learn English in international school.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, here I am.
And now it's your first language and you're singing in English.
Yeah.
So do you still speak Bahasa?
I still speak Bahasa with my mom.
Do you listen to music in Bahasa?
I don't.
You don't?
But I try to keep up.
Okay. Do you interact with a lot of your fan base? I noticed that you've got millions of streams online. Like, not many people might know the name Ranga Jones, but if you check out like Spotify alone, like your average monthly listens is about 1 million and that's quite impressive.
1 mil around there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to interact with them because
Who are these people who listen? Is it outside of Singapore?
Yeah, honestly, most of it is outside of Singapore.
Right. What's your stats? Tell us about your stats. You know, how many percent is it? It's in Singapore. How many percent is it from?
I'll tell you my top five.
Okay.
If I can remember. Okay. Yeah. First,
let me guess. Indonesia is one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. First is Philippines. Actually,
the Philippines. Wow.
They're so supportive, man. I think they're one of those when they find a new artist that they love. They'll just go all the way. Yeah, all in.
And this is because you were put on the playlist.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were not pushing your songs.
No, I wasn't doing gigs there.
To the Philippines.
Yeah. It was just purely from playlists. They liked my stuff and they just followed me from there.
Mm-hmm.
I think number two is Indonesia.
Okay.
Yeah. And three, surprisingly, is US, United States.
Wow.
Yeah. That was recent, actually, because they were like number eight for a few while and then they just shot up to number three.
What happened? Was it
might be the playlist thing?
Oh, you mean like Ruka's playlist?
No, it was like just Spotify's editorial playlist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe TikTok did play a part of it as well. But yeah, I was just surprised that US is number three. It used to be Singapore. Singapore used to be number three.
So where is Singapore right now?
Singapore is like number eight, man.
Number eight? Okay, so after US, what's that?
After US, I think it's Thailand, if I'm not wrong.
So it's a very regional.
It's a very, yeah.
Regional.
Then it's Malaysia.
Okay.
Taiwan.
Nice.
Then I think it's Singapore.
So do you, back to my question, do you interact with them? Do they send you messages on TikTok?
Or yeah, they send me Instagram. DMs on Instagram. I just try to reply to every one of them because, I mean, without them, I don't think my career would be this successful per se. So yeah, I try to message them here and there, especially when I get new releases.
Mm-hmm.
I try to tell them like, hey, I've got a new release. You can pre-save it here and there. So yeah, I try to keep a, how do you say it? Like a tight relationship with them.
Okay. Have you done any shows outside of Singapore?
No, I haven't.
No?
I think that's the next goal for us.
Since you already have that audience, right?
Yeah, you're building especially like Philippines or Indo, yeah. Mm. I mean, I'm Indonesian, so I'm pretty sure they're like waiting for me to perform there.
Yeah. Right. Do you do anything else outside of music right now or is music a full-time thing for you?
Technically, it is kind of my full-time job, but whenever I'm free, I work part-time at a cafe.
Right.
Can't say the cafe, it's kind of disclosed, but
Has anyone gone up to you and say, hey, Ranga Jones, I listen to your music on Spotify?
Do you know what? Yeah. I have.
You have?
I was doing the cashier, because we wear masks, right? We still wear masks.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that she recognized me. I remember she was with a mom. And then they were both like smiling. So I was a bit like, what's going on? Then she just pulled up Instagram like, are you this guy? And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, now you know where I work.
Nice.
But yeah, that's the only thing that I'm doing outside of music just to get, you know, more money, more income.
Right. And the rest of the time you're what, working on songs?
Or? Working on songs. Yeah, always improving. I'm always just producing something. Yeah. Just so I don't get rusty.
Right. And I understand that you have a new single coming out.
Yes.
Tell us about that song. What is it called?
It's called Pushing Me Away.
Mm-hmm.
It's out this Friday, actually, 15th of March. And it's about a personal experience. I went through a heartbreak recently. And that was the first song that I wrote about it. And I didn't even think of the lyrics. It just kind of spilled out of me. So I was telling Jason, like, this has to be the first single of this year because it's so new and it's so, like, raw.
Yeah.
And it's just about a heartbreak that I went through.
You know, earlier you said that some of the songs is you came up with the story and all that. Mm. But how much of your songs are based on real life experiences like this new song?
This new song?
Yeah.
It's 100% personal. Pure. Yeah. Pure, just from what I went through. I was really inspired by Justin Bieber, actually.
Right.
Yeah. I've been teasing the chorus on social media. Okay. So my fans know what it kind of sounds like. I just wanted to write about it. I wanted to get it out of my chest, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So would you say most of your songs are based on real life experiences? Or
I feel like 80%.
80%?
Or like, 80, 75%-ish.
Right. And if you're writing about a person, like, for example, in this song.
Yeah.
Do they know that you're actually writing about them?
I'm pretty sure they know.
Okay.
I mean, when I was still with the person, most of the songs were inspired by her.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like all the love songs. So yeah, you know, I think she'll probably know it's about her.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. What other projects are you working on? What do you have on your calendar for the rest of 2024 besides this new single?
Right now, I think it's just, I just want to churn out new songs with new sounds. I want to kind of broaden my genre-ish or just sound in general.
Back to new metal? No?
No. Not back to new metal. Sadly, no. But maybe like, you know, some indie sounding stuff.
Okay.
Can't give away too much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I'm working on. Maybe an album or just singles. Who knows? Not solid plans yet, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, Ranga, this is my last question for you. And it's a question that we always ask our interviewees on this podcast.
Sure.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Wow. Okay. Where do I see myself? I would love to probably do this music thing full time. No more part time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. I see myself performing a lot, maybe outside of Singapore, maybe touring, maybe. I would love to do that. And hopefully just happy and living life, man. And healthy, of course.
Hey, Ranga, thank you so much for being on the show. I wish you
thank
all
you
the
so
best.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was your host, Adino Abdul Kadi. We hope you enjoyed listening to Music Lab. To listen to Ranga Jones' live performance of Call Me and Not Good Enough, or to read Adino's columns on the music scene in Singapore and elsewhere, there are links in our podcast show notes. Once again, make sure you follow our Music Lab podcast on Apple, Spotify, or ST's new podcast channel on YouTube. Get notified when we drop the latest episodes. Thanks for listening.